Blog Talk Radio.
We will call upon the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. We will call upon the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of our salvation. Hosanna. Blessed be the rock, and let the God of our salvation be exalted. We will call upon the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. We will call upon the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. For he is worthy, our God is worthy. Yes, he is worthy to be praised. Yes, he is worthy, our God is worthy. Yes, he is so worthy to be praised. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the glory, and the power, both now and forevermore. And our soul says amen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. We give God some praise early on this morning. Hallelujah, because he is a good God, and God is so worthy to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, our God is great, 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 great. He is so great. And we bless him on today. TGIF, today God is first. Amen. We went to bed praising him. Glory be to God from our Friday night praise party. Glory be to God. And we woke up this morning praising him. And we intend to praise him all day long. Why? Because praise is what we do. Amen and amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and hallelujah. Amen. I am Dr. Alfreda. Amen. We want to welcome all of our first-timers listening in around the globe. Amen. Maybe you stumbled across us. Maybe you were invited. Amen. Maybe you just haven't been here in a while and you're here today. And we especially appreciate those of you who are here every day. Amen. Because guess what? I'll make no mistake of Jacob. Jesus is here every day. So anytime you come by, Jesus will be here. Amen. So we want to thank God. Amen. Hallelujah. As we celebrate and lift up the mighty name, the righteous name, the victorious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. We have been celebrating Women's History Month. And I don't know. I think we might going to suck Women's History Month dry. I think we're going to have to take it over into a new month. Amen. We're going to do the month of March, and we're going to run Women's History until we run out of all the women in the Bible. Amen. So we're going to do that. Amen. Lord's willing, that means that some of you are going to have to come around a second time. And some of you that we missed the first time, guess what? We're going to find a spot for you this time. And nobody's wiggling out. Nobody's wiggling out. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. So we are excited. We are excited. Amen. We're going to do that. We're going to run all the women in the Bible. And then after we get finished running all the women in the Bible, we're going to do all the men in the Bible, every single one that we find. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So that's it. That's the agenda. Amen. For the next, amen, couple months. I guess we're going to be running this for a couple months. Amen. Because it's about 400 names that we got to go through. That's a whole year. Matter of fact, that's over a year. And glory be to God. So we said we was going to do something different this year. Amen. Glory be to God. There it is. Now, we may have some interruptions. We may do some breaks. Amen. The Lord might want to take a day and bring a word into somebody. So, you know, we're flexible to the direction of the Holy Ghost. But for the most part, amen, I sought the Lord about it. Amen. Glory be to God. One of the ministry partners brought up the idea. And I said, it sounds like a good idea. So let me talk to Daddy. I don't do nothing until I talk to Daddy. Because it's not my program. It's not my platform. It's not my word. It ain't nothing. Look. He just called me to be the host. That's all he called me to be. Everything else is his agenda. So I ran it past Daddy. Amen. And I'm telling you, I got my answer. Amen. So over the weekend, I'll be lining up the other women in the Bibles. Amen. Glory be to God. And I'll be reaching out to you over the next couple of days. All right. With some dates and times. Amen. And I want to thank you in advance for your cooperation. And maybe some of you may know of other people, amen, that might want to participate in this, amen, if we can depend on them now. We don't want to be looking for them at 6 o'clock and they sleeping. You know what I mean? But even if it's their first time or every time, glory be to God. So we want to use our own, but if you know someone that might want to participate on this exciting a journey that the Lord has us on. Amen. Just let me know. Amen. And we'll take it from there. All right. All right. All right. Today, we are moving forward and we want to talk about Lot's daughters. Well, we only talk about two of them. Glory be to God. He had more, but the Bible speaks in reference to two of them in particular. Amen. So we want to focus on them today and see what insights, amen, that we can glean from Lot's two daughters. Amen. And to God be praised. I am so excited today, amen, to introduce this young lady. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. She's always positive. Amen. Glory be to God. On an upbeat note, glory be to God. Looking towards faith, walking towards faith, pressing into faith, amen, and very, very admirable indeed, amen. And so I want to thank God for her, amen, glory be to God. And haven't known her that long, amen, but we've heard from all of her children. Well, I don't know if they're all of her children, but we have heard from her children. Amen. Glory be to God. And going to be hearing some more from her children. Amen. On our Good Friday service. I believe our flyer will be ready by Tuesday. So we're going to start promoting our Good Friday service. Amen. Glory be to God. And I'm talking about our sister minister. Amen. When I say minister, I don't want nobody to get scared. Amen. Because every born again believer is a minister. Now, it's a difference in being a minister and a licensed minister. Okay, now that's where the conversation divides. Okay, but every born-again believer is a minister. Okay, we've already proven that through a series. I think we toured on that series for over a month where every born-again believer is a minister. Okay, so the Bible substantiates that. Okay, so I'm talking about our minister Felicia. Amen. She is our sister Gwendolyn's daughter. And I'm telling you, she's a beautiful woman on the inside and the outside. Amen. She loves her family. She loves the Lord. Amen. So it is she who's going to come this morning in her own way. Amen. Glory be to God. And share with us her insights on Lot's two daughters. Amen. So So let me see right now. Let me see. All right, let me make sure I have everything open here. Sister Felicia, good morning. Are you there?
Good morning, yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you. You sound so fresh. Hey, glory be to God. Thank you so much for agreeing to serve this morning. We really, really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for allowing me this honor to serve and share what the Lord has shared with me through
Let her rip. The floor is yours.
Daughter. Okay. All right. So good morning, everyone. And I just want to start off with a prayer and just thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for who he is in my life, and I know who he is in all of your lives, and actually for the lives of everyone in the whole world. So we thank you, Lord, for being here today, Lord. Lord, I just ask you to use my lips, my mouth, to teach what it is you put in my heart to say to your people, and I pray that they will receive, again, what it is you have to say, and, again, move me out of the way, and allow, you know, your words to come forth. And I just thank you so much again for everything that you've done in our lives, in our families' lives, and our loved ones, and our friends, and this ministry, and Pastor Bradford. And I just thank you so much again for just being the God that you are. You are so amazing, and we love you, and we adore you, and we give you honor again for all that you have done for us in the whole entire world. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Okay, so I'm actually going to start off with this poem that God put on my heart in 2020. And I love to write, as my family members do as well. And this poem came to me, again, in December 2020, you know, during COVID. So the midst of it, you know, right in the middle of it or whatever. But I know it came from him because it came to me, like the words just came in like 10 minutes. Usually when I'm writing or writing a poem or writing something, it takes a while. It just takes a while for me to process my thoughts, process the words, you know, categorize it or whatever I need to do when I'm writing. But anyway, so let me go ahead and start and read this poem. It's called Once Was Risen, Will Rise Again. And it says, Lord, we know you're coming soon with your mighty angels at hand while gathering up your people to heal the broken land. The earth is in pain. The trees are dying. The people are crying. Hearts are hurting. Time is ticking. Tick-tock, tick-tock. The clock will stop, and we will hear your voice again. You came to us so many times, so many ways, through the clouds, from the fire, through the prophets we so admire. Still not listening, but you loved us so. You sent your one and only son to earth below. But still we barely heard all he had to say. The earth is in pain. Trees are dying. The people are crying. Hearts are hurting. Time is ticking. Tick-tock, tick-tock, the clock will stop. You spoke loud when your love poured out. From the sweat, the water, the blood, it all came. And so you cried, it is finished, and then ascended on high. You told us not to cry because you'd come back again someday. You'd be coming with your mighty angels when that last trumpet sounds. There won't be any more excuses when we see you on that cloud. Tick-tock, tick-tock, the clock has stopped. You came back, as you promised, for your lost sheep of Israel, and open your hearts to the Gentiles who love and honor and praise your name too. You gathered us in your bosom so we wouldn't hurt again. Your word didn't come back void. Look, look, trees are dancing, no more crying, knees are bowed, hearts rejoicing, and people singing, holy, holy, holy is your name. Amen. Amen. I just, folks, just asked me to to read that this morning. I actually was debating not to read it, but he just put on my heart again this morning to read those words. So with that, I'm going to start with Lot's daughters in Genesis 19. It's coming from Genesis 19. So let me give you a little synopsis of my of background history about Lot and his daughters. So Lot was Abraham's nephew. They were close relatives, and their families came out of Egypt together. God told Abraham to set out for Canaan, and so he and Lot set out for Canaan together. On their journey, they became even more prosperous, and their livestock increased so much that both their herdsmen began to argue a lot about the land they were in that could not support both their families. So Abraham suggested that they separate because it was too much strife within the families. Well, you guys know how it is when it's when you feel overcrowded in the house, you know, with your family sometimes. So anyway, so Lot basically chose first where he wanted to live, which was in the plains of the Jordan, because it had the best water and land for his livestock. So my first point is, be mindful of the choices you make. They do have consequences. And with that, well, not because Lot made that choice, he also knew that he would be living near the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, which he also knew that they were wicked. So that was a choice that he made. So moving a little further with the history, background history, God's angels came to Abraham first to warn him that God was going to bring judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. So Abraham haggled with God to save Sodom and Gomorrah, and he asked if God would spare the two cities if he found at least 50 righteous people, and he haggled all the way down to 10 righteous people living there, that, you know, the cities would be saved. But there was not even 10 righteous people living there. So I'm saying, based on Lot and Abraham's history, we would definitely assume that Abraham was thinking of Lot when he was asking God to spare those cities. So isn't it a blessing to have Abraham in your family who speaks to God on your behalf? And how many of us today are here because God heard the prayers of our grandmothers, mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, and friends? So make sure you do the same for your loved ones. Keep them in prayer. Your prayers can cover them. This is Abraham's prayers, you know, and speaking to God did for Lot. So we're going to start off reading in Genesis 19. And I'm going to start at verse 1. I'm going to start reading from verse 1 to 8. So, and there came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing these men, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, behold, now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your own ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house. He made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house around, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, so that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not do not so wickedly. Behold now, I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you. Do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. Okay, so I'm going to stop there, because that's the first mention of Lot. Two daughters. Yeah, it's probably going to have a different twist because, again, this is what the Lord showed me. So Lot offered his two daughters. I would have to say that I was very angry at Lot. Like, how could you offer your daughters, your two virgin daughters to these men to be sacrificed, to sacrifice them like this? I do understand that the sexual sins they wanted to perform on the men were horrific, but I thought giving up his own daughters was even more horrific. So thank God for the Holy Spirit and digging deeper into his word and researching. I found that during this era, having hospitality, especially to foreigners and strangers, was a very big thing. It was their customs and laws and was considered to be one of the most important values a person could have. Just as it said in verse 8, it says, these men have come under the protection of my roof. Well, that's what it says in the NIV version, because I wanted to understand what that meant when it said, because these men in the King James, it says, therefore they came unto the shadow of my roof. And I didn't know what that meant, so I just did a little bit more research on that and then saw that it says they came under the protection of the roof. So the custom back then was definitely to take care of strangers, to bring them in, to feed them, to care for them, to love them even as their own. So if you read Leviticus 19:17-18, it will talk about those customs and laws about, you know, bringing in strangers and treating them, you know, just as you would your own family. It also talks about it in Leviticus 19:33-34. So if you want to jot those down, you can go back and read for yourself what that says. And then it makes me think back to when Jesus said, when they asked Jesus, what are the greatest commandments? And Jesus said to them, the greatest commandment is to love your Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. So that was really important to Jesus as well, you know, was to love your neighbor as yourself. So, you know, I go back and look and think, okay, so because this custom was so strong and the people believed so, you know, dearly and held it, you know, just so strongly, that that's what Lot was doing. He was taking care of even so that he would sacrifice his own daughters. Even though that still didn't wrap around my head quite as well, again, why you would still sacrifice your daughters, but I guess it kind of makes sense, you know, looking back at the customs, you know, the customs that they had and, you know, again, how women were treated back then, unfortunately, during those times. But, again, the custom was so strong. So I don't even think at the beginning that Lot even knew that they were angels at first. But thank God they were angels and pulled Lot inside and saved him and his daughters from the mob. So that was my take from that point right there. So I'm sorry. Let me go to my notes real quick. I apologize. Okay, so now we're going to continue reading Genesis 19:16, which is the second point. What brings you to my second point, and I apologize for the delays. So we're going to read Genesis 19, verse 16. Okay, so because you remember from the rest of the story, if you read the rest of the story, Lot, the angels pulled Lot inside the house and struck the man with blindness, with a bright light, and blinded them so they could not get into the house. And then continuing on at verse 16, and while, let's see, okay. Okay, actually it's verse 12. It says, and the men said unto Lot, thou here and besides, son and, do you have any family or son-in-laws or daughters or anybody? Because we want you to bring them out of the city, because God is basically the two men, the angels, the kings, to tell Lot that they were, that God is going to destroy the cities. And that he was going to destroy the cities, and he told Lot to bring his family out of the cities. If he had any sons-in-law, daughters, family members, or whatever, to bring them out because they were going, God is going to destroy the city. And, okay, and so in verse 15, actually, and when the morning arose, the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. So verse 16, and while he lingered, the men said, laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. So that brings me to my second point. The Lord is merciful. And that was just questioning, why did Lot and his wife hesitate? And the angels had to grab them by the hand and pull them out of the city. It just made me think, how many times have God sent someone in your life to pull you out of your mess? Are you hesitant, or you know that they're there to help you, but you're hesitant? But God is so merciful. God is so merciful that he still sends people to help, just like he sent, you know, the angels to go back in there and pull, you know, Lot and his daughters and his wife out of their mess that they were in, they were about to be in. They were about to die. So, again, I just maybe think, you know, again, why would they hesitate when God told them that the cities are going to be destroyed? So as I kept reading, just pondering, you know, that thought again, just again had me ask, you know, because God is merciful, he does send people in our life, and we know that those people are right for us or are righteous or, you know, have our best interests at heart, and they're telling us things for our own good. And, you know, how do we respond to them? You know, I'm glad that Lot, his wife, and his daughters didn't reject them, but they, you know, came along. They could have made that choice to stay, you know, which would have been foolish because they would have died. But anyway, so we just have to ask ourselves that question. You know, when God is sending us help, are we hesitant to receive the help that we need so that we can live? And that was the second point, because God is a merciful, the Lord is merciful, as Psalms 145:8-9 tells us. So, which brings me to my next point again, number three. So, before we get to that point, let me continue to read Genesis 19, and I'm going to start at verse 26, because from when they left, from when the angels pulled them out in verse 16, he brought them forth, verse 17, and it came to pass when he brought them forth abroad that he escaped for thy life, look not behind thee. Neither stay thou in all the plains, escape to the mountains, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, O not so, my lord. Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight. and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed in saving my life. I cannot escape to the mountains lest some evil take hold of me. So basically, Lot is saying that, please asking God to allow him to go to a city that was close by, because he didn't think he would make it. He thought he would die. So from verses 19 through, 22, he escaped. 22 says he didn't escape and cannot do. I apologize again. Okay, so God granted his Lot's wish and told him that he can go ahead and go to the city of Zoar, which is a small city that was nearby. And so that's where Lot and his wife was headed to. And God told them, and he overthrew the cities and all the plains, and this is in verse 25, and then the inhabitants of the cities that grew. Now, he did command the wife not to look back. So in verse 26, that his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Because, again, if you read those scriptures that he talks about, when he told them to leave, they should not look back. And Abraham got up early in the morning, verse 27, and Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain and beheld the smoke of the country and went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, in verse 29, and it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which that land dwelt. And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him. So again, we're coming back to Lot and his two daughters. And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in a cave, and his two daughters. Okay, I want to stop here just for one second. And my third point is, what are you teaching your children? What are you teaching your children? Verse 30 says that Lot was afraid to stay in the city of Zoar, but it doesn't say why he was afraid. He just got finished asking God, could he go there, you know, to that city, and then he, for whatever reason, it looked like he changed his mind along the way after he got there, and then so he and his daughters end up in a cave in the mountains. So again, Lot's choice again. What's going on in his mind? You know, again, that he asked God to send him to that city, to the city of Zoar, but then when he got there, his daughters, you know, they ended up in a cave in a mountain. So now we see that Lot is in a cave in a mountain. Lot is now a single dad, alone in a cave with his two daughters. And this is set up for disaster. Lot might have been a righteous man in the beginning, but he was not delivered from his sins. Why didn't Lot go back to his uncle Abraham's family with his girls after God destroyed the cities? You know, they were close at one time, and, you know, Abraham prayed for him and, you know, saved the cities for him. So it wasn't like he didn't have an opportunity to go back to Abraham or go somewhere closer. But, again, Lot chose to stay where he was, in the mountains, you know, and in a cave with his daughters. So, in fact, after living in Sodom and Gomorrah and seeing how bad the cities were, why did Lot even stay there? What made him stay? Was it pride? Was it greed? Because the Bible says that they were rich, and he could have lived anywhere he wanted to live. So my point is, protect your family, men. Protect your babies. How many of us know the Lord but continue in our sins? Jesus didn't come for us to only know him, but to love him. As John 14:15 says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. How far away did Lot come from knowing God's commandments? he knew his uncle Abraham. Abraham, you know, was a mighty man for God. So Lot knew all about Abraham and the commandments and, you know, everything. But, again, he chose to do his own thing and really, you know, walk so far away from God, even though he may have been righteous again and may have been a righteous man, but he still had some sins like we all do, you know, that we have not been delivered from. But I just think if he would have just went back, you know, to his family or went back to Abraham or went back to God. But anyway, what was Lot teaching his girls? What was Lot teaching his girls? They must have witnessed his drunkenness in order for them to come up with the idea to get him drunk. So actually, before I finish that point, let me go back and read here. It says, In verse 30, we're on 33. And Lot went up to Zoar and dwelt in the mountains and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. And the firstborn said unto the younger, our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night. And the firstborn went in and lay with her father. And he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow, that the firstborn said unto the younger, behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also, and go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. They made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. Okay, so when I read that story and was just reading and looking at the situation, again, I just had to dig deeper, and that's when I was thinking, what are you teaching your children? That point, the third point of what are you teaching your children? These girls, first of all, they must have witnessed drunkenness from their father before in order for them to come up with the idea to even get him drunk, to have sex with him, pretty much actually raping him. How did they not know this was a wrong thing to do? They were so naive. They were doing the wrong things for the right reason. They just wanted to preserve the family line. So lineage, you know, preserving lineage was really important during that time. So what else were they teaching the girls? So what was their mother teaching them? Also, when she turned around to look back at her own sins, what was she teaching them? What was she doing and teaching them prior to the destruction of the cities? Why didn't she protect her babies? I'm just looking at, you know, the mother, again, Lot's wife, and their mother, the two daughters' mother. You know, what made her look back at the two cities as they were being destroyed? That she couldn't go forth with her husband and her children. Did she know God? You know, that's a question that was in my head. But I guess, you know, she's just looking back at the sins because the cities were wicked. I mean, her heart was there, evidently, for her to turn around and want to go back. I mean, because she turned around. And therefore she was, you know, made into a pillar of salt. But again, what was she doing? What was she teaching her children prior to the destruction of the city? So it also brought me to these questions. Again, why didn't you protect our babies? But anyway, so mothers, grandmothers, sisters, aunties, how and what are you doing to teach your babies and your children? Are you being an example for them as best as you can as Christian women? Single moms, I know how hard it is trying to play both parents, but God gave you and me the responsibility to nurture them. He gave us the responsibility to nurture our children. And how can we do that if we're looking back, if we're constantly going back, not even looking back, but going back to our own mess, you know, that God brought us from? Or maybe God haven't brought you from your mess yet, but again, he still gives us the responsibilities nevertheless to take care of our babies and know that, again, there are consequences for our choices. And let me see. And we know that we can try, you know, we can do everything that we know how to do and to raise our children the right way. We do know that, you know, do everything that we know how to do to raise our children the right way. But still, they still may wander off and they still may rebel. But we're still responsible, and so to speak, they're responsible for their own sins as an adult. But while they're young and they're under our care, we are totally responsible for them. And so that's, you know, one of the things I wanted to leave mothers and women specifically, you know, that we are responsible in how we raise our children when they're young and they're, you know, growing up. And again, we fall short because we're human, and we make mistakes because we're human. And thank God for his grace and his mercy over us in our lives. And we, you know, we learn from them lessons, and we teach our children, don't go this way, don't do that, because if you do, you know, this can hurt you, this can affect you, you know. So, again, if they make that choice, you know, that's them. They, you know, they're going to be responsible for their own sins, you know, again, when they become adult age. So we just have to make sure we're checking ourselves first to make sure we're lining up with God's word. And I'm speaking, you know, again, to the Christian mothers out here. We have to make sure that we're lining ourselves up with the word of God. And also, let me see, do you even trust the word of God? Because God's word says in Psalm 19:105 that it's a light for our path. We got to make sure that we're lining ourselves up to his word and doing what he asks us to do as well. And my opinion, as I was reading and just studying out more of these scriptures, these girls were not bad girls. They did, again, they did the wrong thing for the right reason. They were trying to save their family's line. You know, why, again, did their dad didn't, you know, I don't know why when they were in the city of Zoar, you know, did the dad not stay there, because it was close to Sodom and Gomorrah, but evidently it wasn't as wicked as Sodom and Gomorrah because God spared that city, the city of Zoar. And again, you know, he could have taken them, you know, to back to his family, you know, Abraham, and, you know, had, you know, his daughters be with their cousins and other family, and, you know, somebody who's going to teach them and they can, you know, look at and, you know, be around other people. But again, these girls were, again, with only their dad in the mountain and nobody else and just them. So again, they had to come up with their own conclusions. And again, I don't think these girls, in my opinion, were bad girls. They were just a product of their environment. I'm saying this because they were very young and wanting, you know, waiting to be married. You know, they had the sons-in-laws were already, you know, prepared to marry them. But doing a little research, I found out that during this time, that the only reason they probably were not married yet because they did not have their period. And in those days, girls got married around the age of 11 or 12 years old, almost immediately after getting their menstrual cycles. So they must have came on while they were in the cave with their father and discussed, you know, we got to keep you know, the our family line going. And so they only did what they were taught. If they were not taught anything other than that, how would they have known? So that's where what I got from, you know, reading about the two girls. People were saying they were bad, they were wicked, they were this and they were that, you know, whatever. But I just think, again, they were a product of their environment because of what their parents taught them or did not teach them. Are you willing to sacrifice your children for legalism and worldly customs? Meaning, do you go along to get along with them or others? Do you let your children do whatever their friends are doing? Do you protect them with boundaries? You know, so I just think, you know, again, we do have to be careful of what we're teaching our children. They are precious in our sight. God gave them to us to watch over them, protect them, and to be an example for them. Do you share the gospel with them? Are you being the gospel for them? That means living and practicing a righteous life the best as you can. And I hear this quite often, you know, when people say, stop using, no, nobody's perfect. So I'm going to say stop using it as an excuse, because we already know that no one's perfect. That is why Jesus came, because we were not perfect. He was perfect. He wants us to be mature, you know, and perfect in him. He says that we can be perfect in him, which means basically meaning to mature in him, you know, as we continue to follow, you know, what God tells us to do. So if we're following what God tells us to do, we are being a living example for our children to follow. Again, we know we fall short, but, again, that's where God has so much grace and so much mercy for us. But if we're just, you know, staying on course in what God wants us to do, we can't go wrong. Again, we have to go back to do we first believe and trust that God's word is a light for our path as parents, as adults, as guardians, as, you know, whomever in our children or family's lives, are we believing that God is who he says he is? Because if we're not trusting God, then how do we expect our children to trust God, you know, if we're not trusting him? And also, our children do what they see, not what they're told. We all know that. They do what they see and not what they're told. So we just have to, again, be the living and walking examples for them. And just, again, having open conversations with them, talking to them. I just think about, hold on, this scripture in Deuteronomy 29:29 that God gave me some years ago. Let me read it real quick. Sorry. 29:29. So there was a time when I was questioning God. I was kind of at the beginning. I won't say the beginning of my walk with God, because, with having children. And I just remember questioning God about life. I just remember questioning, like, why is this God? Why is that, you know? Kind of like a child, like children, they ask a lot of questions. So I was questioning my God, my daddy, that way. And I was like, why did this happen? Why did these things have to happen? Why the world, you know, whatever was going on in my mind, I was just asking my dad those questions. So as he has revealed many other scriptures to me, this is one that he gave to me as well. So I was actually just flipping through the pages as I was asking him questions. And the page is flipped open to this verse, which reads, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Okay, so I was like, okay, God, I hear you. So when I read the secret things belong to God and to the Lord our God, that made me think, okay, he was saying it's none of your business. So sometimes we have to tell our children it's none of your business until they're ready, until they're old enough to understand and grasp, because that's what he says. He says, But those things revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. So when he told me that, and he, you know, and that stood out about the children, you know, just do what he wants us to do. He'll reveal it. He'll reveal what he wants you to know. If you keep talking to him, if you keep asking him, if you keep praying to him, if you keep searching him and, you know, listening to him. So we can do all those things, and we must be listening and we must be obedient to what he's telling us to do when he gives us the answers. So I just say that for families, parents, adults, again, who have young children, you know, under your care, to, again, be an example, again, the best way that you can be an example for your children. Keep them covered in prayer. Talk to them. Let me see. God begins to, you know, let me wrap this up. We all know the scriptures, Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way they should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So if we're training them up and we are trusting this verse, because, again, this is from our dad, and are we trusting our dad? You know, Lot's daughters trusted him, and, you know, in that cave, they trusted, I guess, that part where they were supposed to, you know, continue the lineage. But don't just stop there with certain things that you're teaching your children. Teach them godly things, you know. Teach them things that will save their life. Teach them things that, you know, won't hurt them and hurt others. Just, you know, again, do our best. That's all we can do. We can do our best. And the only way, honestly, that we can do our best is, again, if we're trusting God's word, if we're heeding God's word, if we're doing what God tells us to do, because they're watching, they're listening. Their children, you know how children are, they are observing all the time. My children have convicted me many times over the years. Don't tell your children, you know, things that they're saying is wrong. Let them be expressive with their opinions, but teach them in a respectful way. Don't let them disrespect you when they're talking to you. You know, I don't care what age they are, they can still talk to you. You teach them, you know, how to respect you and respect others in conversation. Don't, you know, again, stop their questions. Don't, you know, because God doesn't stop our questions, so why should we stop our children's questions when they want to know about things, you know? Sometimes we do because we don't know. We just don't, you know, we don't know how to answer certain questions. We don't know, you know, what to tell them about certain topics or events or whatever, but God does, and he'll reveal it to them at the right and the proper time. Trust that God will, and he will do that for them. And stay close to your family. You know, I think about, again, Lot and his family. If he would have stayed close to Abraham and his family, you know, and he probably wouldn't have wandered off so far from the truth, you know, as well. And, you know, could have had a different outcome. So Lot, at the end, you know, we see that his daughters had the children. Let me see. Hold on. Okay, so in the firstborn, in verse 37, in the firstborn, bare a son and called his name Moab. The same is the father of the Moabites until this day. And the younger, she also bare a son called his name Ben Ami. And the same is the father of the children of the Ammon until this day. Ammonites. So, you will have to continue reading that, because I'm actually continuing to study about these two children of Lot's daughters. But as wrapping it up, I will just say that, hold on, Lot's daughters, okay, yeah, number one, be mindful of the choices you make. They have consequences. The Lord is merciful. And what are you teaching your children? And I just thank you again for allowing me this opportunity, and I hope and pray that it made sense and the hearer did hear what the Lord had put into me about his word. And I just thank you so much for giving me this opportunity. And just want to thank you and thank God for everything that all that you've done for keeping us, our family, our children, and just directing our lives. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen.
Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless the Lord, doctor. Amen, Dr. Felicia. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen for that doctoral presentation. Amen. Glory be to God. Very, very, very thorough. Amen. Glory be to God. Being mindful of the choices, amen, that we make. Glory be to God. How it was horrific for him to offer up his two virgin daughters. The Lord is merciful. Why did they hesitate? Very, very good question. And do we hesitate when God sends us help? Amen. Glory be to God. We can park right there, actually. Amen. Glory be to God. I feel something coming out of that. Amen. What are you teaching your children? What are you teaching your children? Lot was a bad example. And his daughters did the wrong thing, but they did it for the right reason. My God. Amen. Glory be to God. And so we are responsible for how we teach our children. And are you lined up with God's word? Do you trust the word of God? Very, very, very complete. Very, very, very complete. Doctorial. Amen. We want to thank God for you, glory be to God, in your thorough presentation. And now we, as we have already heard from Jordan and Tavera, now we see, you know, where their grooming came from. When you talk about how are you teaching your children, and we see that they have been taught, amen, from mama, amen, who is very thorough. So now we're beginning to connect the dots and see why they are so thorough, amen, because this is the example that you have put forth, amen. So awesome, 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 glory be to God, amen, hallelujah. We want to bless the Lord, amen, very, very, very complete, amen, and we'll be talking about Lot's wife next month, glory be to God, amen, and how she turned to that pillar of salt. Amen. But beloved, amen. Glory be to God. Amen. As our minister, Felicia, has shared with us, glory be to God. Amen. She turned to a pillar of salt, but God wants us to become the salt. Amen. Of the world. Amen. That's something. And that's only by not compromising God's standard or conforming. Amen. Excellent. And we can frame another presentation. We're framing all of these. Amen. Glory be to God. Excellent. I will say very, very, very thorough. Very excellent. So thank you so much for agreeing. Since we have decided that we're going to do all the women in the Bible, glory be to God, you best believe we're going to be calling on you again. Amen. Glory be to God. And we pray that you will accept the invitation to come. Amen. You do have the anointing of a teacher. Amen. I don't know if you know what your gifts are in the body of Christ, but you are definitely a teacher. That much is very, very, very evident. I discerned that one. And I picked up a couple other things, but we could talk about that privately. But indeed, you are a teacher. Amen. So you're going to have to grab hold of that gift if you haven't already. Amen. And walk in that. Amen. In Jesus' name. All right. All right. All right. To God be praised. To God be praised. Amen. I believe we have a birthday today. Glory be to God. Today is our sister Tavera's, which is our sister Felicia's daughter. Those of you who may not been with us every day, Glory be to God. And we thank you for the ones that are with us every day, because sometimes people only show up when it's their time to speak. Y'all know how they go. You know what I mean? Glory be to God. Come to my party, but, you know, I don't have time to come to yours. Amen. So Tavera was the one who spoke on the first Tamar. Amen. Glory to God. Did you want to say something, sister, before we move forward? Okay, I'm sorry. I thought you were saying something.
Oh, yeah. I'm going
to... You're breaking up.
Me?
You're breaking
up.
Okay.
Yes. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Oh, I don't know. Okay. No, I just wanted to, definitely wish Tavera a happy birthday. Jordan was March the 17th. Tavera's birthday is tomorrow, actually. So happy birthday, Tavera. Sam, happy birthday to you publicly.
We are going to open up the calls. Normally when the birthday is on a Sunday, I do it the day after, sort of what my mother's teaching me, you know, do it, you know, after. She don't celebrate baby showers and all that. She always waits after. But because, you know, Saturday we tend to have a little bit more time. If we're going to go over, then I would prefer to do it on a Saturday as opposed to during the week. So we are going to open up the lines and acknowledge Tavera. If she's on the line, we will be acknowledging her. Amen. So before we do, I want to give the benediction. Then we can open up the lines, and then you guys can just do what you want to do. And then those of us that have to go, we will go. In form of announcements, today is Saturday. All right, everybody have a good Sabbath day. Amen. Tomorrow at 12 o'clock, amen, our services will be on social media, all the social media platforms at 12 o'clock. Right now we're on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and I don't know, amen. We're still expanding, but those for sure. Amen. And then we'll be back next week. Monday, we will be speaking on Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary, the mother of Jesus. Amen. And we are going to run this until we run all the women out. Amen. So I want to thank God for our minister, Priscilla. Amen. Who has sort of given me a connection. Amen. To make sure that we do not miss any of the women in the Bible. Amen. So I pray that everybody's been enjoying it. I pray that everybody's been enjoying it, and indeed I have. And it's also given us all an opportunity to see another part of you and to know one another better. And our family and our community is being strengthened through our gifts and through our presentations. So I'm so excited. Amen. So let me give the benediction. I believe that's it. Then we want to see if Tavera. It was brought to my attention that, you know, Tavera's birthday was this month. Please help Pastor out. If you have a birthday this month, and it's not boastful, just send me out a text or a reminder, hey, you know, celebrate my birthday. Some of you, I see you do it in your testimonies. Hey, my birthday is Monday. That's another. No, just let us know, okay? We don't want to. I'm doing a lot of things. I don't want anybody to think I'm picking and choosing, and y'all should know me long enough to know I'm not that type of person, okay? But sometimes I just have a lot of things on my plate. So please, just send me out a text, okay, and let me know. Right. Your birthday's coming up, and we will make sure we put it on the calendar, okay? Fair enough? Thank you. All right, so I'm going to give the benediction, then we're going to open up the lines. Father God, we say thank you for this wonderful, wonderful service. Father God, this deep insight on Lot's two daughters. Father God, we thank you for our minister, Felicia. My God, Father God, you have shown us this lady. She just came out the gate. She came out the gate, Father God, standing up, Father God. They're standing up, Father God, straight up to the top, Father God. We just want to say thank you. Thank you for a very dictatorial presentation, very thorough presentation. I thought she brought everything together, dotted all of her I's, crossed all her T's. Father God, such as a professor would have done and a college, Father, just excellent, excellent. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for the insight, Father God, because the truth be told, we never looked at all of these bullet points the way that it has been presented. Because the truth of the matter is that Lot's daughter did do the right thing the wrong way. And a lot of times, so do we. But Father God, we thank you that the lessons learned and how to get around it and how to be better. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your word that never returns into your void, but always accomplishes everything that you have sent it forth to do. Thank you. Now we bind absolutely every spirit of retaliation in the name of the Father. Thank you for an awesome week. Oh, Father God, it's been glorious. It's just been a glorious week, Father God. In the name of Jesus Christ, Father God. Father God, excuse me, amen, hallelujah for the call. Amen. This week, Father God, we got deep with Mary Magdalene, Sarah, Bathsheba, Dinah, Ruth, and now we're closing up with Lot's daughters. God, this is awesome, awesome, awesome. We thank you for all the presenters. Father God, everybody on their A game. Father God, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for the prayer altar all this week, every prayer, a host, warrior, Father God, who manned their station, not coming on late, but on time, Father God, praying through out of their spirits. Thank you for each and every one of them. Thank you for the Wednesday night Bible study. Thank you for the praise party last night. Father God, our minister Joanne, using her, Father God, to run with that. Father God, taking that deeper and higher. God, we just want to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you for everybody's participation. Thank you for the 5 o'clock live on Facebook. Thank you yesterday how we started, Father God, our coaching empowerment, Father God, on Facebook group page. Father God, every Friday at 3 o'clock, we thank you for that. We thank you for the TV channel that's been running 24/7 all this week. Father God, it's so glorious. It's so glorious how you brought us from a motel room, Father God, to the place that we are, and you're not even finished with us yet. We just want to say thank you, God. Thank you for all those who support this ministry, Father God, to make all this possible, Father God, with their time, their talents, and their torso. And we just want to bless you. Now, Father God, we want to bind absolutely every spirit of retaliation. As we go out today, we declare we will not be in the right place at the wrong time. No bad news will come nigh our dwelling. Meet us tomorrow at 12 o'clock on all the social media platforms, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And we bless you as we meet back again on this platform on Monday morning, same time, place, and station, giving you praise, glory, and honor. And our soul says amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Now unto him was able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and forever. Amen. And Satan is defeated. Darkness is dispelled, and Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of
Lords. All participants are unmuted.
Amen, amen. Is our sister Tavera on?
Yes, I'm here. Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. All right, give me 1 minute.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday to you.
Sister Tavera, 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 amen. I'm telling you, it's just been a blessing. Glory be to God. As I'm meeting more and more of the family that it's just a blessing. It's just a blessing, amen, with your mother. I'm going to call her Dr. Felicia. Matter of fact, I see you receiving your doctoral. Amen. You may already have it. Amen. I'm going to call her doctor. Amen. Brother Conrad. Amen. Minister Conrad. Amen. Glory be to God. The photographer. Amen. Glory be to God. And the rest of your family. Amen. And I know some of them, and it's growing. And I just want to thank God, amen, for all of you, and especially you, Tavera, amen, glory be to God. There's something very, very special about you, your grooming. I see that what your mother has poured into you, still pouring into you. I see you developing into your own woman, amen, but very, very unique, amen, and your mannerisms. Glory be to God, and just outstanding, glory be to God, and I'm just so happy to know you, and I'm just looking forward to us spending more intimate time together. We're going to put a couple things on the calendar this year. Matter of fact, I'm going to get a little committee together. I'd like for us to have something in the next month or two. If it's nothing, just a little lunch or something. I want us to have a little bit more intimacy because we are intimate. So looking forward to you speaking on Good Friday. And I just want to speak first before I open up the lines to say I pray that this birthday is the best birthday that you have ever, 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 ever known. And it will be at the bottom of the list for all the ones to come. That God will grant you your heart desires. Amen. Glory be to God. As you continue to delight yourself in him.
Amen.
And just continue to bless your socks also. I don't know what you got planned today, but whatever it is, we pray that you will be safe. We pray that you will be blessed. And there will be much joy, amen, brought to you. So from the Life Word Jesus Kingdom Ministries, amen.
Thank
you. From me, Pastor Alfreda, I just want to say I love you in the Lord. And I want to wish you a happy, 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 a happy, 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 a happy birthday. Amen. And blessings to you.
Thank you so much.
You're very, very welcome. You're very welcome. Amen. So I'm opening up the lines. All of you who called in on the prayer line number, that line is already open. Amen. So if anyone has anything to say to Tavera, amen, the lines are open. And I am in the process of opening up the lines of all of you who called on Blog Radio. All right. So, amen, you can express your love and your gratitude. When everybody's finished, amen, glory be to God, we will disconnect the call. Amen. God bless you.
Good morning. This is Jordan, Tavera's brother and Felicia's son. I just want to wish you, Tavera, just an early birthday. I'm just so grateful for God that I had the opportunity to just be a younger brother. And I'm just really so proud of you. And, yeah, it's so shocking. And I'm just so amazed to see how God is using you in your life. And I'm just really excited to see how God is going to continue to use you. And, yeah, I pray that you have just an amazing birthday, that you put God first, continue to keep putting God first, and just be an inspiration to me and many other people who know you. So I just want to wish you just an early birthday and just tell you that I'm just very grateful to have you in my life.
Oh, thanks, Jordan.
Bless God. The lines are open.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, good morning.
We got like
Joanne
three
Thurman.
People coming in at one time. I hear Sister Joanne Thurman and I hear Sister Gwendolyn Richardson.
Good morning, everybody. First, giving honor to the most gracious High God, only God, and just thanking them for my daughter. I just heard her this morning. I'm not surprised because I've seen it in her ever since she was little. She always was a beautiful young lady, and she still is, and so is all three of her kids and my other two grandsons, five all together. And this is extended to you, Tavira, this morning with the matching name of Jesus, the oldest grand. Hallelujah, Jesus, happy birthday to you. You're such a sweet, sweet young lady. Your attitude when you was young was just like your mother. You was always quiet and you was smart. You liked to read. You liked the books, whatever. And I remember one thing, and I told you that a couple of weeks ago, when you was about 4 years old, you said, Grandma, I might not know a lot of things, but I'm going to do something great for the Lord. So, God, I just thank you so much. As you leave in this legacy, somebody had said to, the other day, they were saying, your uncle, my Uncle Walt was the first minister in the family, and I know he poured it in me from God, and then went, extended itself through the family, and we are growing. And I thank God so much. And not so much that we're growing, Tavira, is the idea that how you and Jordan is stepping forward for the younger people in the family and Kima, it stands with God say, I'll show you great and mighty things that you knew not of. So, Lord, I just thank you so much this morning for Tavira, her wonderful birthday, her beautiful attitude, and all the things that God has brought upon your life this day and forevermore. And I love you, prayer line, for loving my daughter, my kids, my grands, and we love you so much, too. In Jesus' wonderful name, have a blessed every day. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Grandma.
You're welcome. This is Grandma. And I would like to wish you a most happy birthday. Your family, the anointing on your family is quite amazing. It's incredible to see how much God has blessed your family. And I'm so proud of Sister Gwen, how she has raised you and how her love for the Lord has trickled down into your family. And it's a blessing. And I do speak blessings in your life for the future, because it definitely looks bright for you and your family. And just enjoy your day. Be blessed in the name of the Lord. And have a happy, happy, happy day. Peace and grace be with you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, too. Thank you. So sweet.
All right, bless
Hello,
the Lord, amen.
Vera, one more. I enjoyed listening this morning. I've been very blessed to know I have a family that's so incredible in the Word when it comes down to the Lord, because He indeed have touched them in more ways than I can imagine. I'm sitting here just a little bit, but not much, because I lost my first and my most loving friend. I call him a friend, but he was an uncle to me a couple of days ago. But I'm stronger because I know I got a good family, and he knew when he prayed for me when I was coming up that I would probably wind up with a great family like I do today. So I thank you all out there, and happy birthday, Delaire, and may you see many, many more. God bless you.
Thank you so much.
Brother David, we offer our condolences to you and your family at this time and the loss of the loved one. Amen. And we pray your comfort and strength in the Lord.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Happy
All right. Has everyone spoken who desires to speak? We want to get to Vera the last one. Yes, good morning, sister.
Good morning. This is Sister Priscilla. I just want to say happy birthday to you, Tavira. What a joy to hear you and to your excellent teaching on Tamar was so delightful. That's what I want to say this morning. How
you.
Thorough you are and how gracious you are and how encouraging you are, when you call your rank as big sister to Jordan, that was just so real and such a joy. So it's good to know you, and I'm just asking God to just bless you with the most wonderful birthday that you've ever had so far, and that he will continue to bless you and to keep his anointing on you as he develops you into all that he will have, the woman that he will have you to be. In Jesus' name, God bless you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
That's awesome.
Amen. And I just stand in awe of God. I just stand in awe of his majesty and his power, and just seeing how God is able to do all that he said he would do. I was just listening to that song this morning. If we don't give up on God, he won't give up on us. And I just thank the Lord again for what he has done for our family. I do wish you, I want to see you today already, so enough of that till we see each other. But it is God, and also God blessing Pastor Bradford to open up doors for us to even connect even more. You know, with my mom, Gwendolyn Richardson, being on the ministry for many years, and praying for her family and praying for us to come together for a time such as this, and just to see, you know, her prayers come true, as well as my prayers, you know, again, for our family. So, again, we know that God is amazing. He is true to his word. His word does not come back void. We just cannot quit, especially during this season, this time, and families, we have to love one another and stay close to one another and stay in that word together and be the light that he called us to be in this world. So it's never too late. Don't ever give up on anyone in your family, anyone. I don't care who they are. Don't ever give up on them. Keep them covered in prayer and fast for them and love them just where they're at. And love them into God's kingdom, Lord. And as we do that for other members of our family, and as we do that the same for our friends. So, again, we thank you, and I thank you again for Pastor Bradford's ministry here. And it's doing great things. You are such a blessing right now. And we just thank you, and we thank God and give him all the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Such beautiful words. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. And, you know, the ministry is a blessing when it has people to bless. Amen. So we thank God. Amen. For each and every one of you. Amen. And to God be praise. All right, saints. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Everybody walk in the blessing today. Amen. Because the blessing manifestation is here. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. See you on the good part about social media. If you miss us live, you can get the replay tomorrow. Amen. Glory be to God. And Lord's willing, looking back for Monday. Amen. When we will meet together. And we're going to plan something. We're going to have something. Amen. Glory be to God. Just let me hear from the Lord. Amen. We're going to do something. Amen. We're going to come together for lunch, a breakfast or lunch or something. I don't know what. Amen. Glory. We're going to be coming together. Amen. So God bless you. Amen. Glory be to God. God bless my mother. Amen. For Easter, we wanted to have something there, but the kitchen, they can't use the kitchen there. But it ain't over with yet. It ain't over with. And glory be to God. When I want to bless somebody, God always make a way for me to bless somebody. Amen. And I want to bless you guys. Amen. Again, because you bless me. All right. Everybody have a good day. I love you. And thank you for allowing me to serve you this week. All right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you.